The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives to your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Jennifer from the Those Darn Cats podcast, and I listen to Mickey Miles.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
The last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. I heard the laughter of her heart in every street cafe. The last time I saw Paris, her trees were dressed for spring, and lovers walked beneath those trees, and birds found songs to sing. I dodged the same old taxi cabs.
Oh, no, we're not talking about that quite yet, but hang on, we'll talk about it soon. Until then, enjoy the show.
Welcome to episode 254 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Well, you know, it's February. Ask me in about 2 months.
Yeah, we're not even going to say that word.
Don't even say that word.
I'm just laughing now. I'm getting lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of miles on the treadmill, and just hoping by the time the Boston Marathon comes on April 20th that it's not snowing, or, you know, there aren't as many snowbanks for us to leap over. So I wanted to thank everybody who has contributed to my Boston Marathon Fund. I've sent out lots of magnets, and if you want to contribute, I'd really appreciate it. Every little bit helps. I'm not at my goal yet. It's go to crowdrise.com and just look for the last name Scribner, and you'll find me. Thank you. So why don't you introduce our guest?
Oh, we're excited. if you had listened to Tuesday's show, you may have recalled we had two special guests on who talked about their very first experience running a marathon, and we wanted to continue the fun we've had talking with two of my favorite people, and we've got them back here to help us attack and cut down on some of the questions that we have been receiving on Facebook and on email. So we want to welcome back my friend from the Be Our Guest podcast, the one, the only, Mr. Mike Rahlman. How are you, Michael?
Doing great. Ready for some questions.
Ready for some questions. And my favorite teacher, David Koch from Astoria,
hey.
New York.
Hey.
My favorite male teacher from Astoria, New York.
Mike Rahlman's a teacher too.
My favorite male teacher from New York.
All right, there we
David
go.
David Koch. I'll just keep qualifying and qualifying and qualifying. My favorite teacher that has my favorite male teacher that has a surname that begins with the letter K.
Okay.
David, welcome back.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So, Mike, before we jump into questions, I have offered our guests a privilege that I have only offered you, which is to allow them to give their own shout-outs today. So, Mike Rahlman, do you have a shout-out?
Yeah, I do. I want to send mine out to Mr. Mike Bankhead, who is a runner from the old days. I mean, he knows how to get everybody together and encourages folks, and he takes care of our podcast group. We have a little running group, and he gets everything organized, and he's always the first one to comment on Facebook when somebody has a run and congratulate them and keep pushing them on. So, Mike, you inspire me. Shout out to you today, buddy.
And I just want to say, too, that your running group and Mike's leadership of the running group, he doesn't just cheer for your group. He cheers for everybody, and he's just a super, super nice guy.
Yeah, I want to put in a good word for Mike, too. He's an outstanding, outstanding guy.
A nice running community member. What about you, Dave?
I want to give a shout out to Stephanie Grace, who basically gets me to go out on my runs. Her long run day is one of my short run days, and there are times I'll see her posting on Facebook that she's out for a run, and kind of pushes me, well, if she's out there, I guess I have to get out there myself. So she kind of helps push me along, so, and I'm really grateful for that.
That's really nice.
All right, Michelle, you can start us off with the first question.
All right. So our first question is from Ed Ramos, and he says, hello, Mike and Michelle and Gus. Thanks again for all the advice you've provided. I was listening to your recent coverage of the 2015 marathon weekend, and it was getting me excited about going out and running in the cold, rainy Seattle weather. Goofy versus dopey. I've made the decision that I want to run a full marathon in 2016. Here's my dilemma. It's very difficult for me to take the time off from work in the month of January. If I were to take some time off in January 2016, it will probably not happen again for a very long time. I can't make the decision to go for goofy versus dopey versus quote unquote, just the marathon. I've done several half marathons, but nothing more. However, I am confident I can complete either one of those options looking over Galloway's training schedule. I'm afraid if I don't go for dopey, I will not have this opportunity for a very long time. What are your thoughts? All right, let's go to Mike Rahman. What do you think, Mike?
I totally understand the time commitment with dopey, because that's what my plan is for 2016. I'm going to attempt the dopey just so I can, everybody else, all the cool kids are doing it. So, you know, I got to get in there and give it a shot. I think I could probably make it with a lot of training, but I think you just have to kind of think about, because you guys talked about getting up early, you know, four mornings in a row, that's going to be tough. But the time off, I think, is just something you have to consider, because you're going to have to be there on Wednesday at the earliest. And she says she's from Seattle, so that's a whole nother day of travel.
Right. It's actually a guy named Ed.
Oh, but sorry. Yes, Ed, yeah. Sorry. Ed, yeah. Oh, you're coming all the way from Seattle. I'm paying attention there. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing, because you have to acclimate to the time difference and all that. But you know, I'm the same way, though, Ed. I say, you know what? Get it under your belt. Go big or go home. You know, do dopey and just see what you can do and get off work.
Would you agree, Dave?
I would, actually. If you're going to put the time commitment in anyway at this point, then it's going to be one of those situations where you might not be able to do it again. You might as well go for the dopey at this point.
All right, here's where I disagree. And I'll tell you why, guys. So he said he's done just a few marathons.
Half marathons.
A few half marathons. So I don't see anything there about back-to-back races at all. I don't see anything along that line of a challenge. So I would not want Ed to attempt something that, you know, he's never done before. I mean, by the same token, if leading up to January, excuse me, he could maybe get one or two of those in, perhaps he can do it. But for someone who has never done a marathon to say, I'm going to do dopey, I don't know. For someone to say, I'm going to do goofy, I don't know. I've been running for a long time, and I don't know if I would. I mean, if I was going to make a decision, let's say, to do something in January different, I don't think I would do. I mean, I've run many half marathons. I've run back-to-back half marathons. But I don't know if I would do. I don't know if I would feel strong enough confidence-wise to do goofy. I guess my point is that whatever he decides to do, I want him to succeed. So he needs to put himself in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, I think what Mike and Dave said, both of them stress this over and over again. If you put the training
right.
in.
Well,
so if you put the training in, I would say it's doable. I think there is a certain amount of stress that you may have trying to get all those runs in. But if it were me and I could only come once every 5 years, I probably would throw in and do the dopey myself. I've already done it, but I'm just saying as a new runner, if I lived far away. But again, you have to do what our guests say, put that training and follow that Galloway schedule to the T, and then you'll be successful.
You know, there's one more thing, and I'd like Dave and Mike to chime in on this too. When we're talking about the commitment to training, don't you guys feel also that another big component is to have the support of your friends, your relatives, your coworkers, because that goes a long way towards the training. Mike and Dave, how do you feel about that?
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for you. I'm sorry, Mike. I definitely agree with that. As far as as far as the support system and everything, you're gonna need to maybe it gets rough to do that schedule. Maybe have somebody that's a good friend that basically you're accountable to. Have them ask you, yeah, did you go out? Did you do your mileage yet? And be honest with them at that point. Maybe text them after you finish your training runs. This way you kind of just have another level of discipline to add into it.
And I go back to what you said, Dave, you know, with the social media keeping you accountable to that. That's a big part of this. And now that I heard Mike's response, I think one other thing to consider, because Ed mentioned, like, and I didn't really think this all the way through, because he's never completed a full marathon. And this is why I just did the marathon as well this past January, is that I don't know if you want to skip that milestone of becoming a marathoner and try to crunch the challenge into the same weekend, you know, because I'm really excited that I made it to the finish line of a marathon just by itself. And I'm still so happy that happened. And I don't know if, like, I would have been caught up in that if I would have had the challenge medals and all that. That gives me another carrot down the road. But again, if you can only get there so often, you know, because I know I can get back next year, hopefully, but it's a tough call. But you also don't want to pass up just becoming a marathoner in itself. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the way I approached it when I did my first marathon. I just did the marathon, which, you know, again, I was very proud of and very happy to complete that.
Yeah. I had only answered that way because I figured with the timing wise, but when it came for me to sign up for the challenges, I had Michelle's voice in the back of my head saying going from half marathon to full marathon is an entirely different animal at that point.
And because you both decided to do the marathon on its own, would you make that choice again?
Like if
you
had to,
you wouldn't do Dopey? Okay. Cool. Sounds like we're not going to get to many questions because we have such great, thorough answers. Yeah.
Next question comes from Ann Connor, who says, "Hope you are both recovering and that the cruise is going well." This is written about a month ago. At the meetup, Michelle had said to me that you wonder if Run Disney listened to the podcast. I have been listening to last year's recaps for Marathon Weekend. Many of the changes I heard on the recap were enacted this year, like including the 5K shirt in the Dopey bag, increasing the number of corrals for the 5K, more characters in the 5K and other races, and the restoration of characters to the balcony at the castle. It seems as though the advice is considered and at least somewhat addressed. The 20-mile celebration still needs work. So Ian is wondering, you know, if there are so many.
No, he and I were sort of talking about, you know, does Run Disney listen to the podcast?
Well, and both Mike and Dave have talked about social media, how social media has taken a huge leap up to keep us all connected. And I do know that Disney is very much into social media. So I know that they listen to many podcasts. They read Facebook, they do a lot of things, and let's face it, we are the consumers, and it would make sense for anyone who's running any kind of a business to listen to consumers. So my thought is that they do, and proof in the pudding is for those, and I think Mike, you and I ran that first the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. I don't know if you were you there for the 13K or whatever it was, and it was the Wine and Dine. Is it Wine and Dine, Michelle?
The first one?
Yeah. Mike, did you run the Wine and Dine, the first one?
Yes, I did.
And so you remember all the issues. And there were so many vehicles on the internet that addressed all those. And to Run Disney's credit, they addressed every one. So the following year, that race was very much changed and improved. So Ian, I truly believe they do listen. All right, Michelle, next.
All right. The next question is from Devin Kelly Scott, and she says, "I'm a brand new listener and a fairly new runner. The Tinkerbell half this May will be my very first half marathon, and I'm so happy to have found this podcast." Thank you. We're happy too, Devin. "I have a question, and I'm hoping that you can help me with. Can you volunteer for Run Disney with visible tattoos? I used to be a cast member a few years ago, and I'm very familiar with the Disney look guidelines, but I'm not sure if these restrictions extend to their volunteers. I'm registered to volunteer for Star Wars races, and I didn't find anything on their website other than the expected request to dress appropriately to a family event. Thanks for the great podcast. I have my opinion, but I don't know. Do our guests, Mike or Dave, have any ideas about this?
I'd say come down to volunteer over a marathon weekend or princess down at Walt Disney World, and they'll be wearing a coat, and you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Dave, any ideas?
I think they would take anybody at this point. I can't remember anybody personally with any visible tattoos or facial piercings that I can. But I'm sure at that point, I think they're going to be needing volunteers. So,
Mike, what's your opinion?
Well, I don't know if they would take someone with a ring in their nose, but I think that I like what Mike said. You know, if you're doing it in January, you're not, and if you have that tattoo on your arm of, you know, I love Mabel, you know, they won't show that. When you do apply as a volunteer, you know, you're applying online.
Yeah,
so there's no send a photo, you know, front and back, frontal and you know. Yeah. So I don't think there's an issue there. I think what I'm going to do is I'll send our friend Phil Taylor a question about this and see what happens. But I'm pretty sure that it wouldn't be an issue. Besides, during the day of the race, all the volunteers are wearing shirts or jackets or stuff. So even if I know, unless you have it on your forehead, you know.
But wearing a tattoo or having even a ring in your nose doesn't make you any less valuable or
exactly,
so
exactly.
I would be
really
surprised.
It's free labor, so
yeah, you know. yeah. We need those volunteers. The races just couldn't happen without the volunteers. Okay, Mike?
Next question comes from somebody named Michelle, but it's not you. Mm-hmm. It says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I wanted to start off by saying I love the podcast and appreciate all that you do. My question is this. I am planning my first Run Disney event for the January 2016 marathon and was wondering what was the best way to decide what race or races to do." So event for the January 2016 marathon weekend, she wants to say. Some things you may need to know. Number one, I can't get down to the world a lot and will be staying a couple of days after the races to enjoy the parks. Number two, I will be going alone at this point. And number three, I am up for whatever you guys throw my way race-wise. Thank you for your time. So, Dave, let's start with you. So she wants to know, what's the best way to decide what race or races to do? This is the first time she would be, this is her first Run Disney event. So what, if you were to give her advice, and she does not say what kind of a running background she has, what kind of advice would you give Michelle?
First, I would ask her if she's going to be doing it alone or if she's going to be doing it with her family at that point.
Yes.
I would definitely, I think maybe a 10K would be a good one to start out with. You kind of get a taste of the whole running in Disney. 5K might be too short at start just because with all the people. I think here it's a nice distance that she'll be able to run a bit, walk a bit, enjoy the whole atmosphere, and then from there go on.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Mike, how would you approach this?
I like Dave's answer. You know, a 10K is a nice distance because you're out there for, you know, 70, 80, 90 minutes, 100 minutes. You know, it's a decent length race. But not knowing her background, if she's done other races in her community, if she's, you know, completed several half marathons, I would say don't sell yourself short. Do a half marathon while you're down there. Or, you know, what if she's done a marathon, do one at Walt Disney World. You know, you want to make this something that's a carrot and it's a challenge and it'll keep you engaged from now until January of next year. So, you know, I say push yourself, but if you don't have a lot of time to train or background in training, just go with a 10K or 5K. Those are both great races.
Good point. Michelle, you, and then I'll.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it is a good point. It's a carrot that's a long way away. So you could definitely achieve a half marathon. We need to know a little bit more about you, Michelle. And if you write back and tell us what your experience is, we can kind of direct your question. But the thing about the 10K is it's a medal too. So if you're going to be running a race and working up to a 10K, you'll get a medal. You know, the other medals are fine, but the medals are quite impressive. Mike?
I agree with everything that everyone has said. I wanted to add just one more thing, and that is that for those who have never been to a Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, the very first time they go, it's an overwhelming experience. It's just mind-blowing with the number of people and the expo and all the stuff that's going on. So you want to make sure that, again, you're prepared for success. And again, not knowing what Michelle has for a running background, I would go with what everyone said. You know, it's February. There's plenty of time to train for a 5K or a 10K or a half, but I think a 10K is a very safe distance to go for. And like you said, Michelle, it's a medal, and it starts the ball rolling.
Yeah. Okay, our next question is from our buddy TJ Fry, and he says, "Hi, Eminem. Congrats on your marathon weekend accomplishment. Subsequent to the weekend, I heard a rumor that 2016 will be the last year for Dopey. Have you heard this? Is it credible? Mike Rahman, did you hear this? I've heard this.
I've heard it. I saw another podcaster post this on somewhere, but yeah, that's really the only place I've heard it. So I'm hoping not, but just to hedge my bets, I'm going to try to do Dopey's just in case like this does happen. I can say that I did it, but yeah, I've heard it, but I haven't heard anything official.
Dave?
I've been hearing that rumor all around.
Yeah, I wonder where that rumor came from. It's interesting. I know one thing that's going to change is now that the racetrack is closing, the marathon route is going to change, but I don't know. I think maybe it has to do with the number of people in the 5K. What do you think, Mike?
I think there are several factors that have led to this rumor. If you guys remember, sometime back in, let's say it was September, October, there was a message that came out from Red Disney saying, "Hey, we still have stuff left for Goofy or whatever."
Oh yeah, we still have slots left for Goofy.
And so I think they were looking at Disney likes to look at trends, and I think that they keep track of participation in the Run Disney events, and when they feel interest is waning, they do things. They do things like adding challenges, glass slipper, double dare, rebel challenge, things like that. So I think that we're looking at sometime in the next 2 or 3 years, something's going to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Dopey's going away. There may be a move, you know, behind the closed doors of the Run Disney powers that say, you know, let's change things up from time to time so that there's interest. It's just like when they change things in the parks. They want to make sure that they bring people coming back. Those who have done the Dopey, those who have done Goofy Marathon or whatever, all of a sudden they're saying, you know, I've done it, I'm done. So Run Disney, as much as they realize that there's new blood every year, some of that old blood they need. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think that one of the things that I'll be watching very closely this year is the rate of the registrations and how quickly they sell out. I know that way back when I started running half marathons a long time ago, about 10 years ago, that the marathon, the half marathon and the marathons did not sell out till November. And now, of course, it's crazy. So I think they look for a certain time frame for them to sell out. And if not, things are going to change. So we'll see. That was a long answer. Okay. Our next question comes from Michelle McNally, who says, oh, here we go, another rumor. I heard a rumor that as of Wednesday, all Castaway Key races get the 5K medal from the challenge, not the challenge medal. Is this true, Michelle?
Well, yeah, I think I'll jump in on this one because I actually ran the Castaway Key Challenge. So when I ran that race, it was before the regular, you know, they've been running the Castaway Key race just informally where you didn't have to sign up for a Run Disney for a few years now. And the people who participated would get a, you know, kind of a generic finisher type of medal, not nearly as spectacular as the Run Disney ones that you have to pay extra for. So when we finished, we got the Castaway Key Challenge, also another really nice, spectacular rubber medal, but it's really nice. And then later in the day, people who ran just the regular challenge, not signed up for Run Disney, also got that rubber medal too. So it's very generic. It says 2015 Castaway Key 5K Challenge. So my understanding is this is the one that people are going to get for the rest of the year, doing this if they do the Castaway Key regular challenge. Does that make sense? So if you do like if you do the princess, you get the challenge medal, and so are you guys interested in running the Castaway Key challenge, Dave or Mike? Is that something in the future for you?
I would love to do it. The only thing is the races happen around work time for me. So to get all that time off, it's never going to happen for me. I would love to see them do it like they do it for Coast to Coast. If you run a Run Disney race within a calendar year and then take a Caribbean cruise that stops at Castaway Cay, if you run the 5K, they send you the medal via mail or something. I would love to see that.
What a great idea. Listen, great. Run Disney, that is a great – you probably just – you would hook a lot more runners in if you did that. Smart thinking. What about you, Mike?
I would take a cruise just for that.
Yeah. Mike?
That's a great idea because I can tell you that, you know, I've done the 5K a couple of times in the past, and we always go in the summer, and it is hot running through. It seems like a jungle on that loop. People are like, where am I going? But I have I'm looking here on my medal rack. It's just like a generic little medal that says winner, and I got a second one that night for dancing 30 seconds in one of the shows in the club. So, you know, 5K or dancing 30 seconds and making a fool of yourself on the stage, you get the same medal. So they change it up slightly, so maybe you get something with a year on it. I know you're not expecting much, but, you know, just something to remember that you were there.
Oh, I like Dave's idea. I think that's such a good idea. Awesome. Our next question is from Amanda Castaneda, and she says, what do you think the chances are for a Muppet race? I would love it, and the costumes would be so fun. Dave, would you run a Muppet race?
Most definitely, and I'd run it as Animal.
What do you think the chances are?
Probably with the popularity of the Muppets in the parks, I think slim to none, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Okay. Mike Rahman?
Agreed. I think, you know, it's a great idea. I'd like to run as Sweetums if we're going to do this. But I would say, yeah, same thing. I doubt they would do it because, you know, they have all these other properties, Star Wars and Avengers. You know, that's the hot thing, and let's go with the hot stuff.
Right. Mike Scopa.
Well, as someone who grew up and entertained his children with being Cookie or Fuzzy or, you know, a couple of I would say it would be a huge success. You could have so many. You could have, you know, the Kermit 5K, you know, the Cookie Monster 5, you know, 10K. I mean, you could do all kinds of things. I just don't know if there's enough time in the year. I think that all the time frames have been taken up, and we keep hearing that, you know, there's this rumor and there's that rumor. So I don't know when they could do it. Maybe a March race in Walt Disney World, maybe. I don't know. March Muppets, I don't know.
So here's my question. You know, we do Star Wars, we do Avengers, they have all these characters. Are there any Muppet characters that you can meet at any of the Disney parks? Like fur characters? Who would they have on the course?
They could bring out Sweetums from the Muppet Vision.
Barney!
Exactly. I mean, but I don't know who you'd meet other than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
either.
Make a parade float or something and have some of the Muppets on top of it, where you can just pose underneath the float with for a picture at a character stop.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
Oh, hey, you could rival the hot chocolate series that's around the country and do, like you said, Mike, do the cookie 5K or something and give out cookies during the race. You know,
that would be good. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, Michelle. I mean, I don't know if they would have. I don't know what kind of Muppet characters. So, I mean, I think that's part of the race, just as we saw with Avengers and Star Wars and even in the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10K, you see characters, photo opportunities for the themed portion of that
race.
It
would be a lot more special to me too, for the fact that they filmed Sesame Street in my neighborhood.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Last question of the day comes from Suzanne, and it's a pretty easy question. It says she wants to know if Disney World annual pass holders get to sign up for races in advance of the public sign-up date, and if so, how does it work? Michelle, you are both an annual pass holder and a DVC member, so I'm going to turn to you first.
Yes, they get about a week ahead of time that you can sign up. You can look on the DVC member page, and you have to – it's kind of – dug down deep inside. If you look for pass holder specials, you can sign up. And I'll tell you, they only have a pre-selected amount. I don't know what that amount is, but it always sells out. I also always have pass holder and credit card holder friends who say, I tried to get in and I couldn't get in. So pass holder DVC, and if you have the credit card, I believe, the Disney Citibank credit card.
The Visa.
Yeah. Guys, have you tried that?
I think they stopped the credit card.
You're right. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I remember that. So it's just DVC and annual pass holders.
I've taken advantage of the annual pass one. Also, a couple of times I got lucky by going to the expo and being able to sign up for a race before it even opened up at the expos.
That's great. And you get $10 off. It's not gonna be a deal breaker in terms of you're taking the trip, but I think the thing that people are looking for is just that extra, you know, time to sign up. But you have to do it fast. You really do. Mike, have you ever tried it?
Yeah, I have. Right now I'm in between APs, and obviously I'm not DVC, so, you know, crossing, I know that I'm glad they only have a, you know, limited number of slots so it doesn't sell out with all of our DVC friends and AP holders, because I'm holding off on getting mine until the summer. But yeah, that's a good way to go to kind of ensure that you have at least, you almost have two chances. You know, you can get there and go crazy the first day, and then if you don't get it, hey, go with the general public the next time around.
And I've done that too. I kind of waited because they weren't selling out and it was too late. So yeah, you get two chances. Good point.
And that brings us to an end of a very special question show. We want to thank David Koch. We want to thank you for coming on and helping us.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And always a pleasure, too, is Mr. Mike Roman. Always fun to talk with you, Mike, and continued luck with the Be Our Guest podcast. We're big fans, and we're big fans of you, too.
Same to you guys. Keep up the great work, and I hope to talk to you in June when we do our big fundraiser, the 12-hour show for Give Kids the World.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Awesome. And when's your next live show, Mike?
I think it'll be on March. Let's see. February has 20. Yeah, so it should be March 15th, the same as February. So,
the
yeah.
Ides of March.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
David Koch is an English teacher, so he knows that. He knows what that is.
Et tu brute?
Et tu brute. So, for David Koch, for Mike Roman, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com, and by All Star Vacation Homes with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.